Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. How you doing? This is Lowdown Radio tonight, and I'm your host, Skip. And I got a deep, deep show tonight, something that we all can relate to, something that has happened to us. So I need everybody to listen in and be aware, because tonight's topic is about depression. And it's kind of deep because it's hitting close to home. And I don't know about you all, but I know myself that, hey, of late I've been encountering that. Due to the fact that certain things that don't go your way, or you have a lot of hope and expectations for certain things, and then it don't turn out, you get into this big lull and bad type of feeling in some type of way. But tonight's topic is about depression. As I did my little homework, they said that we don't know where exactly depressions come from, but it's a lot of different reasons that can pertain to our depression, like medical, life-changing, losing loved ones, and some of us have a family history of it, but for sure, we all will encounter this. At some level, a lot of times it can come from stress, alcohol, and drugs, even hormonal changes. So it's 50% genetic and the other 50% is non-genetic. So myself, I'm trying to understand where the origin is all this from. Can it be medicated, which it probably could, but at the same time, when it happens to each one's life, it's like we all shooken up in some form or fashion to a certain degree where we can't really cope with it, but we will as long as we stick it out and try to survive it. The first thing that I'm trying to understand and wonder about is that when it does hit, if people on the outside can see the changes more than we can, because our whole persona and our whole facial structure and everything changes about us. So I'm trying to get a better understanding on how to not curb it, because it's going to happen more than once. But at the same time, when it does happen, to how to adjust so I can really relate and try to get along with others, where I won't have no hasty generalizations, I have no clouded thinking, or making some irrational judgments. So basically, that's why I wanted to talk tonight about this subject, because it's really hitting close to home in my life, and I can't speak for you all, but at the same level, we're all going to encounter it. Because I didn't know, scientifically they said that when depression hits a person's life, inside their brain, they lose a thing called gray matter, and it shrinks. So depending on how your cells are inside your brain and inside your head, that determines whether or not if you suffered more, your brain shrinks smaller, when I did my homework. But at the same time, I just wanted to be aware, and to be aware is to be wise, that when you have this feeling, what is the best thing to do to combat? Because this is a human emotion that we all have, you know, and there's no way of getting around it, but it's the best way to try to get better at it. So basically, that was my whole gist of having a subject tonight. So I don't want to feel like an alien. And that's why I'm speaking about this subject tonight. And I would hope when I let the callers call in that you all could elaborate on me a little bit more, because I don't like to have blinders on in my thinking and my emotions when it comes to something that's serious. So as I was trying to figure it out while I was doing my little homework on the subject, you know, I know human behavior is a really, really deep thing. And until we can get a PhD in psychiatry or be in, what would I want to say, psychological form to really delve deep and try to figure out the brain and the psyche, you know, it's really kind of a hard thing to do, especially when you don't have the resources and the right mindset and the mind frame to have a deep understanding of this, because basically it's for what you see, it's what you get, and people and humans behavior when it comes to a topic and a subject like this. So I was just wondering, so I won't feel like I said before, I can just make a wild judgment without no type of understanding of what's really going on. So, you know, as I talk about this tonight, I will hope and pray that you all can give me some of your thoughts, you know, so I can elaborate on them more and get a clear understanding. So the next time that I fall into this null and void, I won't be so harsh and so critical on myself. Because once upon a time in my life, like anything else that I ever encountered that wasn't right, the first way that I always start to get over it is to forgive yourself. But with depression, I mean, it's too generalized to where you can't really find a way to just say, okay, I forgive myself, you know, dust myself off and move on. I mean, you can be depressed at any little thing sometimes. I mean, you know, if the Beatles break up, you're depressed. If Mike Tyson lose a fight, you're depressed. If your team don't win the Super Bowl, you're depressed. But what about the severe and a serious matter of depression? That's what I would like to tap in tonight on this conversation when I try to elaborate with you all, my audience, to understand that, you know, it runs deeper than that. So I don't want to make a judgment and say it's different levels and different spectrums of depression, because it can come from two things. I mean, maybe one of your loved ones, God forbid, God, don't take me on this. Maybe if somebody that you love got into a terrible accident and might have passed, that's another form of depression. Or maybe, excuse me, you know, you got really, really disappointed into what was promised or what was supposed to be given to you, and then that can have room for depression. So it's a general topic, but it's still the same outcome and the same feeling. So I would like to understand, with you all help, to know where I'm at in my head when it starts happening to me. So in order for this show to really, really get off the way that I'm looking forward to it and hoping to it, I need all you all comments and understanding. Because like I said, man, when you go through it alone, it's like your algebra exponent standing by yourself. And I really don't like that feeling sometimes, because sometimes you want to elaborate and let other people know, but you get so down in the dumps to where, hey, you know, most people see the expression on your face and your body movement. They would like to be hands off with you because they're scared that you might just snap or do anything at any given moment. So, I mean, I'm just trying to have better and greater understanding about the whole scenario. And that's why I ask you all, and I thank you all for calling in tonight and wanting to hear it, because you just need more. I mean, I know from when it's more people, not just the audience on this radio show, but, you know, different encounters and different people I like to learn from, so I won't be the only one different or make it look like, hey, I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm just wits in, looking like the deer with the headlights cut on. So that's the basic gist of this whole show tonight. And I hope you all have some good thoughts and some good understanding so I can have some rational thinking about it. So the next time that it does happen to me, I won't be just, you know, pouring my soul and want to get a fifth of it, prolong the agony. Because, you know, with alcohol and drugs or something like this, that makes it even worse, as they said, in the home world. So I'm just trying to figure it out. And in a couple of more minutes, we're going to have some callers call in so I can get the better understanding. But as far as living a healthy and good life, I always feel that whatever you're going through, sometimes you have to go through to get to. And if it don't consume you to a point to where it can stop progress in your life so you can move forward, then, you know, dust yourself off and get back into the game. Because if you keep dwelling and lulling over it, there will never be no progress made. So it's like a fight, really, a street fight. If you get hit in your jaw and it slows up, you worry about you drinking soup for the next couple of days, but you're still going to fight in that fight. So you won't be looking like, hey, I surrender, once you got kind of hit on. So that's the understanding that I like to get away with all these problems and these ills of society that we're dealing in every day, that we're going through it. So that's the gist of it, of the whole conversation and about this topic tonight. So I just wanted to just get together and just make it good. Because, man, I mean, it's cool. So in a few more minutes, we're going to do a couple of callers. You know, I appreciate my audience that's calling in right now. I'm looking forward to more callers because I think this is a hot-button issue. And I think that we can all elaborate on it and get some clear understanding. So we won't be looking like, hey, it's beating the best out of us and it's taking a lot away. So, you know, I tell you what. You know, I like to go to a caller right now and to see if we got somebody on live that we can really talk to and give me some complete understanding. So we're going to try a caller right now, you know. Better sooner than later. So let me try a caller. Hello, caller. Hello. Yes, caller. Yes. Hello. Hello. Come in, caller. Hello. Hello? 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 Hello, caller? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes? You're on the radio. I'm your host. Hello, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay. Well, the conversation and the topic tonight is depression. And I'm just seeking some answers because, you know, when I go through it, I want to be shit and left alone. But at the same time, as they say, if it's that special, you wouldn't be the only one going through it. And I know a lot of us have. So I'm just trying to get your insight on the conversation tonight and the topic. So go ahead.
Okay, my insight on the conversation about, I deal with depression as well. I'm 29. I've been dealing with depression since I was 21 when I lost my brother. And I started to isolate at first, but I realized that isolating isn't the best thing to do because you keep all your feelings inside and then one day you eventually explode. And then a lot of times that's how a lot of kids commit suicide because they keep everything so bottled in. So I feel like therapy or counseling or just a close relative or friend that you can actually open up to and talk to because you're not alone. No matter how alone you feel, like there's someone out here either going through the same thing as you or either going through it worse.
Hey, you're right, sister. You know what? And the thing is this. I like your candid and deep direct comment on the show because a lot of people don't dwell that deep. Like I mentioned before in the opening of the show, we can get mad because, you know, they didn't wear the right type of clothes that we thought they were going to wear or anything like that that's just on the surface. But as I did this homework, they said when we give up the gray matter in our brain, the more severe, like you said, as if when you lost your loved one, you know, the brain shrinks with the chemical in the cells in your brain, your gray matter shrinks. And then sometimes I think that can lead you to a point to where it goes from depression to stress, you know, and
yes,
then it's like a whole Pandora's box opening up. And when it really, when it's all said and done, not at the end of the day, like us black folks like to say, because this is a serious matter, uh-huh. And I take it to heart because I'm going through it myself. It's like, man, you don't want to go out here and do something that you cannot get out of just because of something that happened. You know what I'm saying? You know,
exactly.
I mean that. We have to be aware and conscious of what we're doing because I feel like this. If it's nothing I've done indirect, all should be forgiven, but I have to forgive myself first. But at the same time, I have to be conscious and know that, hey, just like smoking these nasty cigarettes that I do, if you don't watch it, 7 minutes like smoking that cigarette can change your life. So it's not, it don't behoove you to make an irrational act because your depression led you to a point that, hey, I'm just finna react instead of respond. And, you know, and I want to thank you because that's really deep what you said, man. Because, you know, sometimes you really, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just so easy to just be the person I was 25 to 30 years ago and just say, you know what, all else fails, let's just test something up. And then I can be, then I can get it up. You know, so I understand, man, because, hey, you know what? It takes a strong person, really, you know, to come up out of it. And big ups to the ones that do, because I've seen people, man, have their whole world and their life altered by depression. You know, it's just like you're dealing with an anchor around your neck, and you just sinking, falling deep, and you can't snap out of it. You're like you're in an emotional trance. You know, and I told myself a long time ago, if that ever be me, man, you know what? Hey, man, it's just like street fighting. Ball your fist up. It ain't going to stop until you, to both of y'all too tired, because you know what? I don't want to sink and fall, man. I mean, I can get back up and rebound, but psychologically, I want to keep everything intact. That's it.
Yep.
You know, I can share the feeling, lose my emotions for a minute, but I got to come back to earth, because remember, there's still going to be a Commonwealth that is in people's gas, and depending on what bank you're paying the mortgage or what real estate company you rent an apartment to. So, you know, I understand deeply, and I really appreciate your thoughts and your comments, because, you know, a lot of times some people feel they're too big to express themselves and tell how it really is, but this is my therapy from you talking to me. So when I feel this, you know, like the record of, like Meatloaf, the famous rock star, you know, two out of three ain't bad. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, I'm not alone in this, like you just said. And that's what's important, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, because so many people think they're alone.
Yeah, because you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But so many people think they're alone, and they feel like suicide, which is, they feel like that temporary pain relief, you know, but they're not realizing they're causing eternal pain for all their loved ones.
Just for that temporary pain relief. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, like I said, they can't see themselves. They can't mirror themselves on what they're going through at that moment. That's the only bad part about it, because you know, if you could see your behavior and your sullenness and your downtrodden, everybody else sees it. They look at you like, man, what's wrong? You the walking dead, or you got a zombie in you, or what? They can tell when you're in the
They have no idea.
You just right.
They have no idea. You're a sinking ship. Yeah. And they're on the outside looking in, and it's like it's a silent cry for help, because depression is, especially in a black community, depression is so secretive. Like, people feel like it's embarrassment, and it's really not. You know, people should talk about it more, and then we'd be able to get more help versus, you know what I'm saying? All these young suicides, because no one wants to talk about it, or when someone does talk about it, our parents are so used to just brushing us off, or, you know, telling us to, you know, suck it up, or, you know, figure it out, or, you know, grow up, you know what I'm saying? And that's why kids nowadays are dealing with depression so bad.
Yeah. And you know what? Remember, man, that stuff made. You're not born. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That stuff is new. It's not born. And you got to understand it to try to, you know, get some type of, like a group or something. That's why I'm glad I got this show about this topic tonight, because I can't afford no priest, no psychiatrist, or no psychologist. So this is about as close as I'm going to get to have some civility and sanity after all this madness. You know, because
it's
either in yourself or in the people that's making you feel this way, or the people that have made you feel this way. So,
you know, you can get to that point where
we have to surrender that way, you know?
Yeah, that's therapeutic. That's even therapeutic. As long as you can get it out and it's not bottled in, that's like the main source is you don't want to keep it bottled in for too long, and then you just explode, and then you go crazy, and then you regret, then you do something just for temporary pain relief, and then you regret it, and then there's no coming back from it.
Yeah, because once you walk through that door, it ain't no coming back. But, you know, I listened to one of my heroes, and God rest his soul, John Lennon of the Beatles, right? Because I'm a Beatles freak.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of my heroes. And he dedicated an album to that when he was going through heroin and depression with his wife, Yoko Ono. And he said it was a thing that this therapist taught him called Primal Scream. And he made an album a song on the album where him and Yoko Ono just screamed and letting that out with that rage and that depression. And that's how he wound up kicking heroin.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He said Primal Scream helps because it gets rid of all the toxins and the poison and the mental stress and the anger in your mind and in your heart and in your body. He said sometimes it helped him. And, you know, he was a great man, even though he got shot in front of his family and got killed. But, you know, I listened to him very well because he said it really helped. It helped him kick heroin. So the thing is that sometimes I really want to get an understanding because, like you said, when you get that lonely feeling, and that's when it really kicks into the fact that, you know what, man, I'm on an island by myself. But
exactly, and it's like, goodness, what do I do? I mean, it's that feeling, I want it to be over, you know, I don't want to feel like this anymore, you know, or I'm not normal.
You feel a lot of personal inadequacies, but if you look around and then do the numbers and the ratio, you can understand. But if it's 20 people, almost 6 or 7 of them going through the same thing you're going through.
Exactly. They just wear it different. Everybody just wears their pain different.
Right. So, you know, it can't be as serious and critical as you are, because don't get me wrong, if you lose somebody close to you that you love, like this friend of mine I know, and I know she got to have her stuff on point, man, because, hey, I give her big ups, man, and I respect her to every day because, what you know, she explained to me all the tragic and all the pain she had. She still live a nice, complete, normal life. Man, please. I look at her and I say to myself, hey, man, I couldn't walk in your shoes. I couldn't.
Okay.
You know, I'm serious, man, because certain things, man, especially when it comes down to losing loved ones and everything like that, man, I used to have a wicked past of just being a party animal, and I know if it strikes me, I'm going back to the way I used to be. Party up. Don't worry about it. Everybody's cool. Let's just go in and smoke and drink our life away. And, you know, I told myself I'd never go back to that life. And that would be the only way if something tragically that happened that would put me in those type of dumps. You know, but for the people that's stronger than me than I'll ever be, hey, man, I give them big ups and I try to keep them close to me. So if it ever happens to me, they can tell me because they've been down that avenue. So
exactly, that part. That's a great way to think about it.
Well, man, because like you said, it starts from within and we sitting around here looking like, you know, we moping and all that old stuff. I can tell. I know when I'm hitting the dumps when it's getting to me. You know, it gets to a point that I try to alienate myself, but that's never going to exist because you still got to deal amongst the people.
Exactly.
You know, so how can I do that unless I just pull the covers on my head and stay in bed until it's time to pay rent or mortgage or whatever? So, you know.
But that's still a sign of depression. Being in your bed all day is still a sign of depression. Even if it hurts, you got to make yourself get up and just do something, just anything. If it's even just going on a porch for a second, for 10 minutes, just to get some fresh air. Just for laying in the bed all day, that's like a sign of depression. And you'll get sunken in there day after day after day after day.
Yeah, because, hey, man, I don't know about you, but I've been there. And it's not a good feeling,
trust
man.
Me. No, it's really not. It's a horrible feeling. A horrible feeling. Like I say, I'm 29, but I'm anorexic and I'm bulimic, and I've been dealing with my eating disorder since I was 21. So I've been 80 pounds on my deathbed. So I've isolated, you know, by myself to get myself together. And like I have kids, and like my kids are my anchor. You know, I say their name repeatedly to myself over and over again to give myself the strength that I need to keep going. Because I know if I give up, then my kids are motherless. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to leave my kids in this world wondering, you know, what was it that we weren't good enough that mommy had to, you know, kill herself or mommy was that depressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my kids to have to go through life without me. I'd rather be here and figure it out mentally in my own domain. You know what I'm saying? And as long as my kids can have a mom, you know, that's why I fight every day. I work every day and not still go you know, I go as hard as I do every day. My saying is chin up, chest out, because no one is going to wipe your tears for you.
No.
So
no.
I keep that slogan. I just keep going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, hey, big ups to you, because you know what, man? I hate to say it, but a lot of times, I don't know if it's true or not, because I'm just speculating, mm-hmm. like I'm trying to speculate the stock market. It's kind of
uh-huh.
like, but the way this demonic society is now, it's like they can command and cheer that type of behavior on. And they, because a lot of people don't have empathy. And that's what they want, you know?
No, no. People, it's like the world has become a dog eat dog world. Like dog eat dog world. Like no one cares. Like it's very rare you'll find a genuine person. They'll actually, like, if you need help, they'll actually, you know, stop what they're doing and pull over. Hey, do you need to jump? Hey, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hey, do you need to get to the gas station? It's very rare you're finding genuine people in the world now. It's everyone is like, you know, they're only with you or using you until they can't use you anymore. And it's sad, but it's true.
Well, you're right, sister. That's why my friends and people that care about me hate when I use this word. Narcissism is at its high. It's more of them than us. And when you see that type of behavior, people, the best thing you can do is break away from them, because they're there to suck, kill, destroy, and take everything you got, because it's about your light shining. And as you can see, only the strong survive when it comes to deep-rooted depression and stuff like that. If you fall out in the middle of the floor, the narcissist will walk past you and say, good, we're happy for you, we got it. So, you know what, the thing is this, be the best that you can be, and hey, it's like fighting in the streets again, just because you didn't hit me.
Okay, good, okay.
You know, let things sting, don't let things hurt, you know, because we're too big to be hurt.
Exactly.
So it's going to be like a bee sting. I'm going to pull you out, and I'm going to move on and get over, because hey, it's about who going to leave a better legacy in his resume. If anything happens, you know, the ticket gets punched. Who has a good resume? You know, I'm like Deion Sanders now. What Deion saying, you didn't make me, you can't break me, you might have mistaken me. So, you know, let them fall where they
okay.
So, you know, but I just want to know, dealing with the people that, hey, if it does happen, I talk to enough people, I know how to handle it better. That's why I'm glad you called me, and I really appreciate it, because, you know, different parts of views give you different points of light that you can elaborate on and see it another way instead of just rolling up in a cocoon.
Exactly. And, then to talk to somebody that actually can relate to you, not someone on the outside looking in or just opinionating, but somebody that's actually been at their lowest, that actually, you know, had suicidal ideations, that actually, you know, wanted to give up, you know, it's way better to talk to somebody that can actually relate to you so you don't feel so alone, or you just, you know, talking out the side of your neck and someone just listening. You can actually talk to somebody that can actually compare and contrast stories. So I my mom-in-law sent me a text with this in it. Her name is Brenda Minter, and I think the number and I think the topic was depression. I'm like, let me call and see what's going on, you know, and I just dialed in.
Well, I thank you, you know, because like I said, for me it's more therapeutic, because I don't want to be a deal with the headlights cut on when it happens, because I've been going through it. And right now, you know, I need some type of understanding so I can soothe my mind and my consciousness about what I'm going through. Instead of just saying,
Definitely. Hey,
I'm going to react, instead of knowing how to respond. Because when you respond, you know what? It ain't no physicality or nothing like that, and ain't nobody going to get hurt. But on paper, we going to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's when I understand that. And man, believe me. What you were saying, it rings a bell and it rings out true, you know. So
yeah, see what I'm saying? See, it hit home. It hit home because you can relate to it. A lot of people can't relate. So if you can relate, it'll hit home. And then, like you say, how we can sit here, have a whole direct conversation and, you know, and go story for story, because you actually felt what I felt. You actually, you know, been down and depressed and, you know, suicidal thoughts. You just want to end it all.
Yeah.
Not everyone can relate.
Yeah, no, because you know what? Everything is just so smooth and groovy. And now this day and age, you know, everything is being taught through the internet, Mortal Kombat, and Grand Theft Auto. So, because I'm a dinosaur almost, you know what I'm saying? I'm almost like a child out the past as far as age-wise. So it's like a lot of times I can't relate. So basically, when I cry out on this radio show, it's because I really need help. You know, not just to listen to people talking in the comments, but this is very therapeutic to me because I don't want to make no hasty judgments, you know, or make some irrational type of act, and then I got to sit on it and pay for it because I'm too old to be going to the county unless somebody's trying to rape or hurt my daughter. Other than that, you know, I can't be going to the county on nothing crazy, you know.
You're definitely right. And that's good. You're finding ways, you know, you're finding another outlook. You're not trying to, you know, you're not resorting to violence or, you know, the wrong thing. You're finding other results and resources. That's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't mind tune. How often do you get on the radio?
Every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. I used to do it every Sunday night. But the football games have took my audience. So from now on, from today starting out, it's going to be every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m.
Okay. I'll definitely tune in on Wednesdays. Definitely.
Okay, because I have so many different topics. It's like, you know, I just got a social encyclopedia in my head. You know, when I pick a topic, you know, it's mostly to where everybody can relate to or what we all encountered before. So it ain't like, you know, I'm reading from the Marvin Webster Dictionary and trying to be more than what I am because, like I said, I'm like Slime the Family Stone. I'm everyday people, man. I just, if I'm going to be amidst among everybody, I like to know what's going on. Because without it, I'm going to be lost, man. I will be lost. And then I'll be so, everybody's cool. Everybody's not cool. So, you know, now you got to keep your ears to the ground like the Indians and really hear their deep steps, you know, their footsteps. So, you know, that's basically what I meant. So, all right, I'm going to try one more caller. You can hang on in there. And I want to thank you for calling, man, because that shed some good light. So now I won't
thank
be so quick, you know. Thank you very much.
And what radio station is this? What radio station?
I call it Lowdown Radio. I'm your host, Skip. Lowdown Radio. Lowdown Radio, because that's the Lowdown that you can be.
I know that's right. Well, I'm Diane, and thank you for having me, and I'll be talking to you again.
Will do. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Then you do the same, love.
Okay, take care now. Okay, we're going to try another caller. So we're going to try this caller. Here we go. Caller, come in, please. Come in, caller. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
How
I'm
you
okay,
doing?
How are you?
All right.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Yeah.
First of all,
well,
I want to say thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Okay. That's no problem. I wanted to say that, you know, depression is really real. A lot of people go through depression and don't even know they have depression. And then when they find out they have depression, a lot of them don't want to get help, and they figure they can do it by themselves. But no one can do depression by themselves. No one.
That's me.
You need some type of support. You know. And the reason I say that is I've been going through depression. I've been dealing with it for the last 17, 18 years since my first son passed away. Okay.
Ooh.
And my whole thing is, you know, I know they say God ain't going to put no more you than what you can bear. But we all human. As my pastor say, we all human, and we all go through some things. And I know God sent us through some things to get to some things sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But my whole thing is this here. Depression is real. And a few weeks ago, it was some guys talking. and I was crying, and they was asking me what was wrong. And I told them, I say, hey, you know, I say, I'm not feeling too good. And they said, what's wrong? I say, I feel like I'm going through depression. They bust out laughing.
Well, you know,
and
what?
I just felt like it wasn't funny. You know, I told them, I say, have you all ever dated somebody with depression? Have you all ever went through depression or some a family member have depression? And they said, yeah. I said, depression is real. It's not funny at all. People take their lives every day, not even every day, every moment, every hour, every minute from depression.
Yeah.
See, there's nothing funny about depression. You see what I'm saying? So I'm glad you brought this topic. I'm glad you did this because for the simple fact, that gives us all a chance to support one another.
Thanks. Because you know what? I find this more therapeutic than sitting on the couch or listening to 20 Hail Marys, because you know what? You're not really walking our shoes, man. And I'm not knocking that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I need to get a better, clear understanding about what's really out here while I'm in the masses. Because I'm going to tell you something. Like you said, when they started laughing, you just don't know. If that would have been me years ago, man, they'd have been crying. Because, you know, my depression would have had so much anger that arose from it, man, to where, hey, I'd have been like, hey, pay attention. I'm not playing. You know, and that's when you think just thinking about reacting instead of responding. But the thing, the main thing and the mainstay is this, because I don't know when mine's coming. I know it's going to come. You know, I done got so stressed out and so depressed that I couldn't even cry. And that's a shame. And me and don't post cry. You alive. I'm the first one because I'm emotional. You know what I'm saying? And when I can't cry, that means that I'm engulfed and it's been consuming me so bad that I can't even shed a tear. And that hurts, man, because you know what? I don't know when it's going to come, but when it comes, I just want to make sure that I'm around. If I'm around anybody, I'm around the right company that can understand and know what I'm going through. Instead of, like you said, being laughed at, ridiculed, and mocked. Because it's so easy for people to do that. Because, like I said, my favorite word, narcissism wants you to do that. If you don't have no empathy for nobody, what they're going through, you're a narcissistic Satan. So, good for you. Just stay over there. Because you know what? I don't want nobody to stroke me or understand me. I just want you to have a little understanding and compassion that I'm a human being, if nothing else. So when you get to that point, you know, hey, you got to mock me and ridicule me, I don't think we need to have no association. Because the best way I found out to deal with people like that, two things. I don't give a F-U-C-K and no contact. Because if I expose myself to you and I just seek compassion from you or some empathy and you mock it, hey, man. Just don't say nothing. And I'm not going to do the Will Smith. Slap you in the face and say, keep my name out your mouth. You know, I can always hurt you better with not even acknowledging you because I know what team you play for. So I understand. You know what? You know, I had done my homework on the subject, and there's so many different levels to this to the point that, you know, all these encounters with people, I really cherish and appreciate that because the stuff that's in my head right now, you better believe I would want to take a tank and just drive over that place where I'm getting all this from. And then say, nah, this is what you wanted. I'm going to give you what you wanted. So that's what my whole mindset is at now. But I thank the liking of good people that feel that I'm special and just keeping me calm. I owe them the world because without it, an irrational act can change your life for the rest of your life, like smoking that cigarette for 7 minutes. So, you know, I really want to thank you all for elaborating with me on this subject because it's a very, very sensitive issue. You know, this is more sensitive than having an affliction or a terminal illness because you're still walking around here trying to function. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, and then you have so many people that's going through it with the doctors are giving you all this medication And then you don't like the way it makes you feel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Of course, right. Of course you don't like the way it makes you feel because you're not used to it.
Right. So let me get this right. And I ain't going to act like Lionel Archie Bunker, but I'm going to talk straight to you. Let me get this right. So now in this modern day and day and age with all the medical breakthrough and advances, are our doctors becoming new drug dealers and giving us the lobotomy? Because one thing is to treat an illness, and another thing is to have us walking around like a zombie. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, and that's what they're doing.
Tell me that ain't so, please. Because now I got a phobia and a paranoia against going to doctors now because they looking like a street corner drug dealer. Take this, take that. Do this, do that. You know? Because
well,
I remember when my
thing.
Doctor was, huh?
This is the thing. The medication helps some people. You see what I'm saying? It don't help
right.
any and everybody.
Right.
You know.
So,
some of them just give it to you to be giving it to you.
Right. But why? Let me ask you something then, too, on this issue for treating this depression. And I noticed when I with my hypertension and diabetes medicine, you know, I wonder why don't doctors encourage alternatives? Why don't you try some herbal medicine or something? You know, that don't have to be all pre-made by Big Pharma and stuff like that. Because when I went to my doctor, and he told me I was pre-diabetic, and then I started using the remedy that my grandmother's sister used. And God rest her soul, I'm Becky. She died at 103 years old out there on 111th and M. Wallace over there, down the street from Finger High School. Normal, 111th and Normal. And when I started using cinnamon, garlic, and honey in the morning with water on an empty stomach, I took the blood test, and they did my blood, and then after they pricked my finger, my blood sugar went down from 146 down to 98. And he asked me, how did you do that? I said, if I tell you, I have to kill you, because you should know, you're a doctor. You know what I'm saying? I played it up.
Right.
I really meant it. You know what I'm saying? What are you prescribing me all this medicine for? That, hey, metformin, all this other stuff. And it's like, man, I see how that stuff take effects on my brother and them high blood pressure pills and all that. It's like he can't get out of bed unless he's taking these pills all the time. You know, and I'm saying to myself, why don't you give me an alternative?
All medicine is not good medicine. I suffer with a lot of different diseases. Not diseases. Let me take that back. I suffer with lupus is a disease. Lupus is a disease and cancer. But I suffer with a lot of different things in my body. And the doctors give me, like, in the morning time, I take 29 pills. In the afternoon, I'm taking 12. At night, I'm taking another 29. One doctor have never came to me and say, let's take a herbal, like you said. They never once said that to me.
Yeah. An alternative, yeah, because you know what? They think people that's in the holistic herbal medicine business are like voodoo quacks, you know, because they figure that if there's no scientific answers for it, it ain't real. But you know what?
Right.
If my grandmama's sister lived to 103 years old, something had to be working. And she got around better than me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm going to go with what works. Now, you can have your, you know, degrees thick as a phone book, which that's good for you. But as far as my life and my existence, I don't want to be no walking zombie, man. I did the street drugs all my life. I'm black on the south side. What the hell do you expect? I done went through that. Now you go legally give me this stuff and say it's okay? I don't know. I'm kind of apprehensive when you do that. You know, because the thing is that...
No, I was just going to say, like my goddaughter, like that's my baby, the one you was just talking to. That's my little heart. And my thing is, like she told you, she's been suffering with depression for years since her brother got killed. you know, and she still go through it. And all the doctors want to do is just, hey, I'm going to put you on a ward. Hey, I'm going to give you some medication. And then you got people looking at you like, she crazy, he crazy. You know, depression is really real.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know what? They don't tell you about all this because, you know what, you can't get it off the cereal box and you can't get it from CNN. But this is like it's like the hidden rule. And depression is a hidden rule. Because then nobody tells you that you're going to wake up one morning and going to be hurt that your loved ones are gone. Really, really deep. I mean, some of us can be strong enough to get through that pain, but some of us are not. And for the ones that can't get through the pain, we left out like castaways, and then we got to just give them some more pills. They ain't gonna worry about it. They can just keep their mind at idle. You know what I'm saying? Like you giving me a lobotomy like Jeffrey Dahmer. That's what I don't like.
Right.
Because I tell you something, the best thing you could do is just put me in a room with a bunch of people that encountered the same thing so I can get a better understanding, and I won't need your stupid mess. You know, because the more that you talk in a group, understand, then when it does come to that time where you get to that point, you can always reflect back and say, man, this is what that woman told me. This is what that guy told me. You know, they gave me a heads up before it even happened. You know what I'm saying? And then you can kind of lighten the load so you won't be walking around and talking about, yeah, now I'm relying upon you. Give me some more of that. Give me some more of them good old things. No, man. No. No, because you know what? Now, I'm just becoming a drug addict. Now, you keep pumping me with it, I'm going to be relying upon it now to where it don't matter. I ain't feeling no pain. You know, and that's crazy, man. That is very crazy. That's why, you know what? It's either herbal or we just go pray to God and surround ourselves with people that encounter the same thing we did so we can make strength and grow from it and move on. Because if not, I can't see myself looking for Mr. Tambourine Man like Bob Dylan say, hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, sing a song for me. No, I'm not going to do that because I'm got too old in the game. But I can't be sitting up here talking about I'm relying upon this stuff. You know, so, hey, man, I mean, that's where we're at. You know, and I feel bad for you all tragedies because, you know, the only time that I've had that tragedy was when my parents left and they were older. So the blow in the heart felt was like, well, it's good that they're time for them to go. But at the same time, like I said, I know if it happened to me, somebody that's really close, like you all encountered, the doctor ain't got to worry about prescribing me no drugs. I'm finna go find that dude on the corner to give me some wax on and wax off. It's cheaper and it's better and the feeling is better. So you know what? You ain't got to worry about prescribing me no drugs. You know what?
You ain't got to worry about me because I'm not going on no corner. I'm going to the good Lord. I'm going to kneel down and ask them to help me.
Of course. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
but
you got another caller, right?
Huh?
Mr. Skip, I say you got another caller, right?
Yeah. Yep. I got another caller. So
okay, well, I'm going to let you get to that other caller. And thanks so much for taking my call because I know you're getting ready to go off the air. So I'm going to let you spend your next 10 minutes, 12 minutes with someone else.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in. Well, I just lost them. I'm sorry. I just lost them. So we got 10 more minutes left. We can still talk. They waited for a while, but then they had left. So that's okay. You know, but I like the callers that the lady before you, and I like how you rapping with me and letting me know. Because like I said, I mean, you write about God, and that's the truth. You know, and that's the first person you should call. But as far as the doctor thinking that they pulling wool over my eyes, if I really wanted some medicine, I know where to get it from. Because your medicine is just there to keep you, Big Pharma, and everybody else in business. So why would you prescribe that? Because you got to make a dollar, the bottom line. You don't stand competition.
Right.
You know, whoever's supplying these drugs, you got to make sure that you push it for them. So myself, hey, man, keep me out of that because if you can't cure me, don't put a Band-Aid over cancer. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Right. I understand that one.
Yeah, man, because you just pull on in the agony. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm emotional. I shed tears. I cry. You know what I'm saying? But don't ever make me confused because you sedate me from crying so I can feel whole again. Because when I cry, I feel that I'm a real human being. Most men, nah, I don't cry. I'm John Newman. I'm a tough guy. But you can go live like that because I'm going to tell you something. Me, myself, I have to get it out because if it stay consumed, then it'll be in my bloodstream. It'll be all over me to a point that the only way to get it out is through a rational act. Because if I don't cry, I'm going to hurt somebody.
Right.
So I need to cry. I need to cry. I need to cry and embrace crying and loving it. Because if I don't, somebody will wind up hurt. Seriously.
Well, crying is good, you know, let it out. Because when you hold it in, and I had this experience myself, and I'm just saying, me, myself, I hold on to so much a few years ago. And I hold on to so much when I was going through my depression that I tried to kill myself.
See what I'm saying?
And that's what my
my
depression led me to suicide. And I wasn't even thinking until it was over what I had did to my loved one.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Your caller said the same thing. You saying the same thing. Well, for some of us, we want to get vindicated before we think about suicide. So if you hurt me, you know what I'm saying, whether somebody I love got into a car accident or anything, I'm going after them first, and then I'm going to do like Bruce Lee and Chinese Connection. After I've taught the whole city, I'm going to let the police, because I'm not going to jail, I'm going to just let the police run, jump in the air, let you just shoot me out the air and just, you know, finish me off. I mean, that's some of our mindsets when we go through this depression. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because it's too easily illustrated. And what we don't understand is that when we walk down the street and see all these people, and if we are going through it, because people that know you, they can tell when your demeanor changed, and they always want to know, man, what's wrong with him? And they speak amongst each other before somebody get enough balls to come and confront you that really care about you and say, hey, man, is you okay? Because I see a difference in your demeanor. I know you might be going through something, but whatever it is, long as it ain't terminal, when you can't function, man, it should be all right. So just keep hanging in there. Move on. But no, we want to ridicule, criticize, laugh. You know what? You need to get away from me. Because that's like kicking a man when you're down or spitting on somebody's grave.
Exactly. And people love to kick you down. And like I said, a lot of times they know you're going through depression and they don't care. They think it's okay. And then some people, they don't even care. They don't even know. Some people don't even know the signs of depression. Even when you're going through depression. Some people think they just said, they don't even know they're going through depression themselves, a lot of people. They think they just sit around sad and crying for days. That's depression. You know, that's just like a cousin of mine. She sat around for about 4 or 5 days crying. I told her kids, she's not just sad, she's crying. You know, even though nobody had passed, wasn't nothing, no health issues or anything, it was her bills. She didn't know what to do, but it was a sign of depression. And before they can get her to the hospital to get her some help, she had already killed herself.
See, and that's crazy. Not saying over some bills, but to where she can feel that deep down within herself to want to do that over something that, hey, whether you live or die, they still going to be here. So you got to live, man.
Right.
I know. You know, like my father told me, and I still stick to what he said because he was never wrong. Boy, you getting a problem with paying your bills, you let them know 2 weeks in advance. It's going to cost them more to open up a new account than to keep yours going. You tell them what you got. What, they going to kill you because this is all you got? You know, and that dawned on me today. He told me, he always tell us, let them know 2 weeks in advance. They'll make their adjustments. Don't worry about it. They need your business more than you need them. I was like, what you mean, Paul?
Exactly.
Hey, things happen, man. You can't keep hitting the fence all the time, but if you give them something in good faith, they'll work with you. You know, and ever since then, he's understood. Hell, for real, as long as I give them something. And then I can go and apologize to them and be the only human beings on this earth want to give them our money and fix their butt because they got the upper hand. So I'm not going to cry about them because whether I'm here or not, the band's still going to play on. And at the same time, they really don't care because they got numbers to crunch. So I'm calling to let you know. For real, man. I'm calling to let them know. Look, man, you make the adjustment. I've been working with you all for a long time, and I'm quite sure after paying this bill that I know I'm up on you because I've paid more than going through hard times now. So that's
right.
Your way for something. Just don't spit me up and chew me out. When I tell you I need your help, help me. I'm coming to you.
Right.
Straight up. I'm not playing you off. But like you said, it's a walking time bomb that we don't even recognize. For real.
Exactly. Some people, you know, like I say, some people
home.
Don't even know. They go out to depression.
No.
They think they just said about Sasha.
No, man. You know what? Everything is like a reverse reflection on your life. You know, when you go back in your time capsule and see what the origin from a lot of this stuff that happened to you to now, this stuff will get you depressed. Wrong choices, bad food, bad people you encounter,
right.
Certain things that you used to do socially. And God forbid, if a person that you love got affected by something or got hurt or even died to a point that it could make you just go into a spiral staircase going down. You know what I'm saying? And like I did in my homework.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you got 4 minutes. I'm sure my sister's on the line.
No, she hung up. 708-227-3029.
She hung up.
Huh?
Okay. No, I said, Look. Yeah, I was trying to stop calling out her whole number. But, yeah, she hung up.
Yeah, but I appreciate she called. She called before. So, you know, I'm glad because I only had 2 callers tonight, but that's all right. They're not used to me doing it on Wednesday, but I'll let everybody know, you know.
You're right.
But
just
that's all
keep
right.
it going. Don't let it get to you. It'll be okay. Yep, take it a day at a time, a week at a time, and it's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I already got my marketing strategy together anyway because I'm going to print up some flyers and I'm going to just put them on this bus and paint them on poles and all that stuff, you know. I mean, you got to take it to the people if you want to get heard, right? So that's what I'm going to do.
Yep, that's right.
You know? But I like the edification that I'm getting right now because, like I said, I've been walking around with this for a while and I know it ain't came yet, but when it do come, I just want to prepare myself, and I want to thank you and the other caller for elaborating on me more so I can make the adjustment. So I won't go over there with bazookas and all that stuff and, you know, just want to get, you know, vindication for what I'm going through, you know, because, remember, we always need somebody to blame, but we need a fall guy or a scapegoat when we come up short.
That's right.
So,
and everybody need a shoulder to lean or a hand to hold.
Right. So, you know, instead of going that route, I can really thank and appreciate you all elaborating on this to me because, you know what, man, please, like I said, if I was who I was 25, 30 years ago, it would have just been a reaction. And then you had me locked up looking crazy, you know, but... At the same time now that I'm older, I'm okay. I can make the adjustment and I can be a little bit more subtle now and have a lot more understanding.
Right.
You know, because it's crazy when you put your blood, sweat, and tears into trying to make it better for everybody. And now it's like you're the worst person on earth. You know, like you went black and silver and played with the Raiders. But all you ever did was just took care of them, made sure that they were straight, kept them healthy, and protected them. And this is the repayment you get, like I said.
Okay.
You know, and I take a page out of the great Malcolm X book. I'd rather have my head blown off than feel betrayed. And that spawns depression. So I only got a few more seconds left. You know, we're going to end the show on a good note, and I appreciate for you and the other caller calling, man, because I needed to...
Well,
I just want to say I apologize for sending your notice out late, but I'm sure you will have more callers on next week because I will make sure that it go out earlier than what it did.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for your support, and we will be back to support you on next week.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks.
Okay.
And I'm finishing
you have a good
now.
And bright night. Okay.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.